Now back to The Break on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, well, the Pittsburgh Steelers back to leading the league in drama. Joining us now, it's Jeff Hartman. He's the editor of Behind the Steel. Kurt, you can follow him on Twitter at BNG Blitz. Jeff, thanks for taking some time this morning. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on.
All right, so let's start off with Le'Veon Bell. So now apparently he's officially off the depth chart, huh, Jeff?
Yeah, I think the organization is sending a little message there. And I really hate that you let in that way, but it's the truth. This team leads the league in drama every single season, it seems. And it gets old. But this Le'Veon Bell thing is so unique because no one knows when he's going to show up.
Yeah, it really is unbelievable. What did you make the other night after the game where Le'Veon Bell, after the tie, the 21-21 tie to the Cleveland Browns, of course, Le'Veon Bell puts that emoji on Twitter where it kind of had like the glasses thing, like looking at the final score of the game. Then after he said, I wasn't hating on anybody, I'm paraphrasing, I just have never seen a tie before. What did you make of that whole thing from Le'Veon?
Well, I didn't buy the excuse. I mean, the little guy with the monocle, I'm not sure why he used that emoji if we're going to talk emojis, but it was at 4:57, the timestamp, and that is exactly when the game went final, which means that he was sitting there watching and had his phone, and it's like he was waiting. And I don't understand really what he was trying to get at, considering the fact that his replacement had one heck of a game.
And yeah.
James Conner, you know, two touchdowns, rushed both rushing, had over 150 yards rushing, and almost 200 total combined yards. He was a workhorse for them. Did everything that Le'Veon Bell typically does. I'm not sure what the message he was trying to send, but it is what it is, and it just adds to the drama and the intrigue of the whole situation.
We're chatting with Jeff Hartman. He's the editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. You can follow him on Twitter. It's at BNG Blitz. Behind the Steel Curtain, of course, part of SB Nation. All right, so now I look at the situation with Le'Veon Bell. I'm wondering, Jeff, because you're there, what are fans thinking about this situation? Because now you look at David Johnson, he just signed an extension. It's barely over $13 million per season. If you look at Todd Gurley's, who was the Offensive Player of the Year last year, his is just over $14 million per season. And Le'Veon apparently wanted $17. The Steelers were willing to go, what it appeared to, $14 million per season. Are the fans on the Steelers' side, or are they on Le'Veon's side?
Well, I'm not going to say all, but I would say a large majority are ready to be done with Le'Veon Bell, period.
Yeah,
they don't like him anymore. They feel that he's selfish. And this is kind of the Steelers did this intentionally. You know, I mean, the Steelers just magically leaked out the contract offers both years. And so it's, the fans see what he turned down, and they find that to be unbelievable. I can't believe he turned down this much money. The realistic fans understand why Le'Veon Bell is doing what he's doing, but at the same time, comparing different contracts, and that seems to be what he's doing now. Like, he wants that Khalil Mack or that Aaron Donald deal, which are just monster deals. It has to be the right team. It has to be the right fit. I mean, you look at the Rams. I mean, Jared Goff is still under his rookie contract, so right. They don't have that Ben Roethlisberger deal that is in the Antonio Brown deal. I mean, in my opinion, and I think most fans, the Steelers gave them their best offer that wasn't going to bankrupt the team, and it wasn't going to put them in salary cap hell for the next few years. And he turned it down. And so they're going to, if he shows up this year, he'll play this year, and then they'll part ways. But those fans are not fans of Le'Veon Bell anymore.
All right, Jeff, do we have any idea when he's going to show up? Do you have at least a guess? Does anybody have any idea what's going through his head?
At this point, no, I have no guess. What I keep telling fans and what I keep writing about and then hearing is if his main objective now, according to his agent, is to protect himself and to limit his touches, then what would only missing 2 weeks do really at all?
Yeah.
To me, that sounds like, you know, we're looking at a long-term thing. We're looking at he might not show up until week 10. When he has to report to accrue enough games for an entire season, there that way he can hit free agency as an unrestricted free agent next year. So, in my opinion, if I'm giving any advice to Steeler fans wondering when he's going to report, don't plan on it anytime soon. So, because if you're trying to save your body, what's showing up in week 4 compared to week 1? That's just my own personal opinion.
Jeff Hartman, the editor of Behind the Steel Curtain, is with us right here on SB Nation Radio. You can follow Jeff on Twitter. It's at BNG Blitz. Okay, so last week we heard Pouncey and DeCastro and Ramon Foster all talking about Le'Veon Bell, and I believe that was on Wednesday after they realized that Le'Veon wasn't showing up. Do you think that this week, or last week I should say, that Mike Tomlin did a poor job in terms of getting this team ready for a game? It seemed like the whole week they were focused on Le'Veon rather than the actual game. Do you think that's fair or no?
Yeah, I don't think I personally don't think that's fair. I mean, he could have gone the Bill Belichick route and told every player, look, you're not talking about it, period. If the media asked about it, you say no comment. He doesn't do that. That's not the way he runs his ship, whether you like it or not. But the way they played in Cleveland, I think that I don't put the two in bed together because they didn't play as poorly as a lot of people think. One player played really poorly, and that was Ben Roethlisberger with five total turnovers to his name, two fumbles, and three interceptions. But other than that, they didn't play a bad game. I mean, you turn the ball over six times, you shouldn't even be close to winning a game. And they technically should have if Chris Boswell would have hit that 42-yarder in overtime. So I don't think that the Steelers lost on, or it feels like a loss. I'm sorry, the tie in week one to the Browns was in any way a reflection on Le'Veon Bell not being there or the players having to talk about it a bunch.
Yeah, Jeff, it probably feels like a loss to Steelers fans and a win for Browns fans. But, yeah, as you pointed out on Twitter, you said Steelers news, Ben Roethlisberger claims he wasn't rusty heading into week one. And you mentioned the five turnovers, three interceptions. If he wasn't rusty, what was the problem with Ben?
I don't know. I mean, you could say weather. It rained. It was, especially in the second half, it was like a torrential downpour. But Roethlisberger's known as a mutter, you know, a guy that he has really large hands for a quarterback, so holding on to the football is normally okay. I just think that it came down to, you know, he wasn't on the same page with Antonio Brown because Antonio Brown had missed a lot of training camp with a quad injury. They didn't play him in the preseason at all because of that same injury, and they didn't want to re-aggravate it. I just think that it's going to take some time, and Roethlisberger's had slow starts in his career before. He might say he wasn't rusty, but it was pretty obvious that something was off. Now, Tomlin brought up an elbow injury that happened at Roethlisberger said today it was the second to last play of the game. He got a helmet, hit him in the elbow. So that wasn't the reason why he played poorly. Maybe he was just off. Maybe it was the weather. But if you ask me, it was rough.
Yeah, Jeff, I saw that picture that was surfacing around the internet yesterday. He had both knees with ice on him, his elbow with ice on it, and his shoulder with ice on it as well. It's kind of funny to see, but geez. Looking at the defense, because that was a question coming into the season, T.J. Watt was obviously outstanding in that Browns game, and I get it's one game against the Browns, but what did you take away from the defensive side of things?
Well, I was really impressed and pleasantly surprised with the Steelers' defense. And like you said, it was a huge question mark coming into the season. No one knew what to expect. And when you have your offense give the other team the ball six extra times and you hold them to 21 points, I'm not upset with that. One of those turnovers equated to the ball at the one-yard line. That was when Jabril Peppers picked up the fumble and almost ran it in for the score. That was James Conner's fumble. And so I was impressed with T.J. Watt. I was impressed with Bud Dupree. Now, that's notable because those two players switched sides before this season. The rookie T.J. Watt was rushing from the right side. They moved him to the left and vice versa with Bud Dupree. And what that did is, I didn't realize this, and I fault myself, is that I didn't realize that T.J. Watt in college at Wisconsin played on the left side more than he did anywhere else. He's more comfortable there. And it definitely showed on Sunday in Cleveland. And, you know, as Bud Dupree was going against a rookie, an undrafted free agent, he kind of expected him to have a presence on that side. But T.J. Watt, I mean, he's got the name, he's got the pedigree, he's got the motor, he's got every single adjective you want to use to describe a really good player. He's living up to the hype of that first-round draft pick status. But let's not also talk about the back end. I thought the secondary played well. John Bostic, who's filling in for Ryan Chazier, had a good game. So if anything, I think that the defense's arrow is pointing upward heading into week two.
All right, a couple more minutes with Jeff Hartman. He's the editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. You can follow Jeff on Twitter, at BNG Blitz. Okay, so now you have to step it up a little bit from the defensive side of the ball. You're going up against that Chiefs offense. I get Patrick Mahomes, young quarterback, but all those weapons, Tyreek Hill and Watkins and Kelsey and Kareem Hunt. How do you think the Steelers match up in week two of the season?
I think they match up well. They've always matched up well with Kansas City. There's something about the Chiefs. It's funny, I talked to Chiefs fans, and they say that the Steelers are to the Chiefs what the Patriots are to the Steelers. It's just that team that, for some reason, they just cannot get over that hump. I want to say the Steelers have won at least the last three meetings, including playoffs, between the two teams. They typically play very well against Kansas City in Pittsburgh. But you know what? That offense is going to be a huge, huge test for this defense. They're going to have to get pressure on Mahomes, because if you give him time, he's going to find his open receivers, and they're going to get open because they're so dynamic. But if you can get to the quarterback, put pressure on a young guy, make him go through his reads, that's when you can have success. And this is the Steelers defense that had 56 sacks last year. They already have 7 this year, and I know it was against the Browns, so put a little asterisk there. But ultimately, we'll see what this defense is really made of in week 2 at home when they play the Chiefs.
All right, and just to play a hypothetical here, and I know you don't want to hear this as a Steelers fan, but let's say that the Steelers, like they're expected to do, they make it into the postseason, but they lose early again, say, in the divisional round. Will Mike Tomlin's job be questioned, and is there a chance that they move on from Mike Tomlin after this season if that is the case?
I think it all depends on how it goes down. For instance, if it's another Jacksonville game last year where players were kind of running their mouths, didn't seem like they were focused. You had reports of players like Le'Veon Bell missing practice the day before, missed a walkthrough. I mean, if all that stuff happens again, then yes, he should be concerned about his job. And yes, I could see them moving on, even with the fact that this team and this organization hate change. But at the same time, I think that Art Rooney II, the current team owner, realizes that the window is closing quickly for this group's Super Bowl run. Now, they've done a good job of getting young talent in place, whether it's Mason Rudolph, Joshua Dobbs. Mason Rudolph is kind of viewed as the heir apparent. But with Ben Roethlisberger's years going, you know, he's at the tail end of his career. The window's closing, and if he thinks that Tomlin is getting in the way, he'll get rid of him. But that would only happen, I think, you know, if they were to play a team like New England and lose, and it was a good game and highly contested, I wouldn't think there would be anything that would have him lose his job. But at the same time, if it's another, you know, end of the season that's filled with scandal and drama, then it might be a tipping point. I don't know. We'll see.
All right, just before we let you go, Jeff, just a prediction on this Sunday's game between the Steelers and the Chiefs.
I like both offenses in this game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I do think the Steelers are going to be rather pissed off after last week. And I think they're going to be more focused. If the Le'Veon Bell thing was a distraction last week, it's not going to be one this week. They're at home. They play well at home. Ben Roethlisberger plays well at home. I like the Steelers to bounce back. The Steelers were the team that gave the Chiefs their first loss last year when they were either 4-5-0. I like the Steelers to win. I'll go with 31-27. I think it's going to be a rather high-scoring game.
All right, that's Jeff Hartman. He's the editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. You can follow him on Twitter at BNGBlitz. Remember, Behind the Steel Curtain, of course, part of SB Nation Radio. Jeff, really appreciated the time this morning. Great stuff, and we'll do it again down the road.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
All right, great stuff from Jeff Hartman on the Steelers as they get ready to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. All the drama with Le'Veon Bell. Like, I'm excited for that game. Chiefs, a high-octane offense. Steelers, a high-octane offense. Like I said, much rather this be the Sunday night game than the Cowboys and the Giants. This is a very intriguing matchup that I can't wait to watch on Sunday afternoon. All right, coming up next, some decisions have been made in terms of a quarterback. We'll get to it next right here on SB Nation Radio.